Man. Boy, you can't even take eternity into your mind. It's good. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. If you'd like to open your scriptures, hope you have the Bible. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 16. Second Peter 1:16. The apostle says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And his voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Father, bless your word now. In thy name I pray, amen. This is the testimony of the Apostle Peter. He was one of the 12. Not only was he one of the 12, he was one of the three of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Peter's talking about his time on the Mount of Transfiguration when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ as he was glorified. Moses and Elijah appeared and began to speak with him. It was quite a remarkable thing. It was so remarkable that they wanted to build tabernacles for this place in remembrance and worship for what they had seen. To this very day, they do not know where the Mount of Transfiguration is located. There's a lot of different ideas and so forth and so on. I don't spend a lot of time with stuff like that because it's not all that important, but the bottom line is it did happen. So read 1st and 2nd Peter, you're reading a book that is written by a hand-picked disciple, an apostle of the Lord. And this man speaks first person from what he saw. Now here's what he tells us in 1st Peter chapter number 5. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Then he says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Well, the apostle can speak about his faith being tried, because it certainly was. But it revealed a lot of things about himself that he needed to know. And this is why we go through trials, tribulations, so forth and so on. It is not that God wants to find out what you're going to do, or he wants to find out what's inside you. He already knows that. He wants you to find it out. And the only way you're ever going to grow in the Lord is to find your position in Christ, how far you've come, and what he has set before you. He'll give you a challenge. He'll give you a door. He'll give you a place. He'll give you a ministry. But he'll give it to you in his time and his way and his place. And that's what's so important. Don't make the mistake of kicking doors down and opening doors and making things happen to try to do something for God. You may not be ready and God may not want it done at that time. But what you need to do is put your life, your ministry in the hands of the Lord. And here I am, Lord. As he said in Isaiah, "Send me," chapter number 6, and he will in his time and in his way. So the Apostle Peter, in his time and in his way, sat down and he opened up, he began to write scripture, and as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Now I want to speak to you on a level this morning that might be a little different than that you normally hear, but I want you to think about something that I'm going to give you today because it's very important. Life is not easy. As they tried to tell these young people as they were graduating from high school, you're going to face life. Life has a lot of things that happen to you. It has a lot of surprises. It's going to have doors shut that you want to open. It'll have doors opened that you wish you hadn't gone through. You're going to find out things about life that simply surprise you. You'll learn. Life is a learning experience. Believe me. Now here I am, almost 80 years old, and I'm still learning. I haven't seen it all. I haven't done it all. I don't know it all. And if I lived 180 years, there'd still be a lot to know, to learn, to do so forth and so on. That's how complicated and that's how versatile and that's how great God is. For all of our lives come together in this house today. You all live different lives. We're different people. We like different things. Yet we love our Lord Jesus Christ, and we love him with all of our heart and all of our soul, and that's why we come to this place today to give glory to God. But here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, and verse number 4, I'll call your attention to something that I think may be very helpful for you today. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 4. The apostle says, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Now watch this. "But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now watch what the apostle does. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection," and note carefully, "unto the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Anytime the word righteousness shows up in your Bible, just make a note. It has to do with the way you live. It has to do with the way you face life. It has to do with the way you deal with things, the choices that you make on a daily basis. This is what chastening is about. It's instructive. If you look at this in Hebrews chapter number 12, this is not punishment. This is instruction. But he's raising it up to a level, I think, to where you, I hope, can understand what I'm about to say to you. If you look very carefully in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8 and 9, it says, "The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." In plain words, we get sick like they get sick. We have problems like they have problems. We hurt like they hurt. We lose like they lose. "The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." All right. If you judge the chastening of God based solely upon what happens to you, then how are you going to make a difference in how God's dealing in your life? Amen. Think of it. If the same thing happens to them that happens to you, then how are you going to look into it and say, "Well, this is God doing this or God doing that," based solely on what's happening to you? You can be going through the same situation of circumstances that an unsaved person can go through. And when you come through it, you'll come out with an entirely different situation as the one that didn't know the Lord. That's the difference. That's what we're talking about today. Why? Because the chastening is not so much in what happens to you. The chastening has to do with the Father of spirits, because it has to do with a spiritual. It's raised you up to a level that the unsaved knows nothing about. This is why God cannot chasten an unsaved person, though they go through the same afflictions that you go through. There's no communication with them because they're dead spiritually. Does that make sense? Are you following me now? The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life makes all the difference in the world in understanding the hand of God in your life and what he's trying to do with you. The Holy Spirit is so important to the believer that if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you ought to know it. If you quench the Holy Spirit of God, you should know it. But if you're being blessed by the Holy Spirit of God, you should know that also. That if you're being enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God and Scripture comes alive, you ought to know that. If you have unction that comes upon you and puts you in a state of prayer, a spiritual state of prayer, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not of the flesh. The flesh is incapable of doing that. In plain words, God called you to a higher level that an unsaved man or a woman could ever reach because they don't have the capacity for it. They've got a dead spirit when it comes to their spiritual relationship with the Lord. That's why that we preach the new birth here. That's why the new birth is so important. It's not so much about how you want to live, feel good,
please God, do the right thing, your righteousness, the commandments and all of that. And you hear this, you hear it ad nauseum. But you do not hear the fact that God is able to take you, a dead person, dead in your sins and trespasses, and give you new birth. That birth does not come from anything you can give him. That birth comes from God alone. Amen. Born of the Spirit of God. So the new birth is such a blessed, wonderful thing because it makes a son of God out of you. And once you become a son of God, you're a son of God. From then on. Well, what if I renounce him? He'll take care of you. If you belong to him, you belong to him. You'll always belong to him. Why? Because you've been born of the Spirit of God. It's no longer about what this happens, about the flesh or any of that. There is in you now an absolutely new person in Christ Jesus that was not there before. Some of the preachers get up and they say, well, what God does, he takes the old man, he works him over, cleans him up, and he saves him and births him into the kingdom of God. No, he doesn't. The old man is the old man. He was born the old man. He'll live out the old man. He'll die the old man. He'll never rise any higher than the dirt that he came from. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, that which is in you is not of this world, but is from above. And then when God deals with you, he deals with you on that level. This is what chastening is about. This is where God wants to walk in fellowship with you. He wants to deal with your spirit. Notice how that God is called here in Hebrews the Father of what? Notice that. The Father of spirits. There's a reason. God, the scripture doesn't just throw words around like they mean nothing. Look at this. He said, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord. Oligoreo is the Greek word, and it means this. To think lightly, make light of something that may be happening to you physically. But you know if you're a born-again believer that it goes much deeper than what's happening physically, because what's happening to you physically really may have nothing to do with what's going on spiritually inside your very being. I mean, I'm up here limping around. Age is taking over this body. Do you think this is all chastening? Do you think this is judgment from God? Do you think God is beating me to death? Do you think this? You think God is dragging me across the coals? No. Because I can sit down and I can pray and I can fellowship with the Father. I can fellowship with sweet fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the problems of the body are still there. But that has no effect upon my communion and fellowship with the Lord. So I know that. And I know the same afflictions are accomplished in my body that are in the world. I also know this. I also know that I've probably outlived what most people live. 70 is what the Bible gives you. 70 years. Now here I am headed to 80. And I can still get up. I'm breathing. I'm talking to you this morning. God's blessing me. He's been good to me. I got no complaints. Do I feel like a 17-year-old? No. I can get down. A young man over here had to help me get up just a minute ago. I don't have the strength I used to have. No. But am I complaining? No. God's been good to me. And in my spirit and in my soul, I love him. I always have and I always will. But if you're sitting around victimized, you're the victim, or you feel that, you know, you haven't been treated fairly, or you feel like the weight of the world is down upon your shoulders, and you feel like you're the only one that is suffering and hurting, my dear friend, you ought to do a little checking and dig a little deeper, and you'll find out there's an awful lot of people out there that are hurting, and I mean they're hurting real bad. They're hurting. Yes, they are. That's not to say that you're not. But the bottom line is this. The same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen? You can live above them. You can live above the physical afflictions of the body. And in the spirit, you can have fellowship with God. And this is what he's talking about. If you do that, he said, God will deal with you as with a son and not with an unsaved person. It's wonderful sonship. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Amen. From the gutter to the king's table. from a hell hole to the Holy of Holies, from lost to saved, from blind but now I see.
I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, yeah. The woman at the well spoke to those around her and said, come see a man. Come over here. See a man that have told me all things ever I have done. They, in their religious pride and arrogance, refused to follow the word of that woman. And you read that text in John 4 and continue on, and you'll hear them say, well, it was not because of what you said. It was because of what he did when he came in our midst, rebuking her and putting her aside. Why? Because she'd had five husbands. And the man she was with was not her husband. That is self-righteousness. When someone limps in here, drags in here, crawls in here, physically they may not look like they are, but spiritually they're on their last leg. The last lap, the last day before they put the gun to their head and blow their brains out or take the dope or something. And they're looking for something. And they come into a house like this. And do you know what they said to blind Bartimaeus when he came into Jericho? Jericho was a dusty place. I've been there, been to Jericho, told you about that. It's hot. We sat down and we ate, and the Dead Sea's on down below us. Don't bother the master. He's got more important things to do. We have a very important religious meeting going on today, and we don't have time to fool with people like you. Do you know what Bartimaeus did? Thanks be unto God for blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Do you know what he said to them? I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you got planned. Jesus, have mercy on me. And you know what? He did. This past week, I was looking at some of the most powerful prayers in the New Testament. Now, the Bible says that the Pharisee would stand on the street corner and pray long, beautiful. Oh, I'm telling you, they must have been full of theology, big words, the whole nine yards. And I mean, he impressed all that gathered around. My, they said to themselves, this is God's anointed. Like they did about David when all of the sons of Jesse were marched before him. But you know what happened? The Lord said this old boy walked up there and he wouldn't have as much as lift his head toward heaven, but smote his chest and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We get too theological. And now listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm all for theology. You better believe it. I am dyed in wool. But I'll tell you right now, God's not impressed with your theology. He's not impressed with big words. He's impressed with simple prayers. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he could say. So if you drug in here this morning, if you came out of some hell hole last night, God only knows where you've been this past week. You're probably so sick of yourself you can't stand it. You can't even stand yourself. But you came in here one last time, you're going to try God. And you came in here, and I'm going to tell you something, you're in the midst of friends. Drag them down here. Walk to his presence. Come to him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you'll get mercy. Yeah, you will. And that Pharisee said, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not as other men. God help us. All you got to do is listen to a man for 5 minutes and you'll get it. He'll say it in a different way, but he's saying the same thing. I thank thee, I'm not as other men. Let me tell you who I am. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down dog that came crawling out of the pit. The light came on in my life. If he hadn't turned the light on my life, I wouldn't be here. He spoke to my soul when I was dead in sins and trespasses. I wouldn't be here today. He called me by his grace. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do anything until I cried out. And all I did was just say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. And when I raised my head, boy, I was in a new world. Are you here today like that? Don't wait till I finish preaching. You come on right now. Somebody will be glad to jump up and come down here and open the Bible and get right next to you. Well,
I'm not embarrassed, sonny. Nobody ain't going embarrassed in here. Nobody handed you a menu when you came through the door. That's not the kind of church we're in. That ought to be the kind of church where a sinner can come through those back doors right there, lost without God, without hope, the sorriest low-down thing ever lived, but walk out of there a son of God. Amen. Well, I don't know if I believe all that religion or not. Try him. I challenge you. I double dog dare you. Oh, you don't believe? You don't think God's able to speak for himself? Why, when I'm long gone, the Almighty, who can search the heart? God can. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Here he said, despise it not. Don't make light when God's trying to speak to you. The chastening of the Lord, nor faint. That word is ekluo. It means to be exhausted in strength, become weary and give up. So it gives you two extremes. When the chastening hand of God begins to move in your spirit now, folks, in your spirit. I don't want anybody to raise their hand this morning, but let's just be honest. When was the last time you really had fellowship with God? Oh, I know you're not out here drunk. I know you're not out here doping it. I know you're not out here some of the most carnal of all the sins. I understand you're living a good, clean life. You've learned all that. But let me ask you a question. When's the last time you had real fellowship with God? Huh? You're dead, aren't you? And you're miserable, too. Oh, you are. And you never notice this about miserable Christians. You get mad when you see somebody shouting and glorifying God. You can't stand it. It eats you alive. It does, because you know you're not. It eats you alive. What you ought to do if you live long enough and suffered enough in this world, when somebody's shouting, praising God, you ought to shout with them, say, thank God you're not. Amen. Amen. Are you having fellowship with him? Is he talking to you? Is there sweetness in your soul? This is what chastening is about. It's about the Lord's relationship with you, and that's all built on the Spirit. Every bit of it. He said, when the Spirit comes, listen to this, John 14. He said, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Then 15:26 in John, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Boy. And then in John 16, verse 13, this is remarkable, if you'd like to turn there, because this is strong. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, who are we talking about here? The Spirit of truth. Good night, folks. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Now, listen to this. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In plain words, the Father will communicate directly with you through the Spirit. And he'll speak to your soul. But you're tuned into the wrong channel. You're listening to the wrong spirit. And because of that, you're miserable. And you're looking for something. You're looking for something to bring back some religious enjoyment in your life. So you try this church, you try that church, you try this ministry, you try that one, this preacher, that preacher, this music, this place, that place. Go everywhere and do everything. And that's just a natural reaction because you're hungry. You're hungry. If you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, you will never be satisfied until you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You won't. And you'll look for it everywhere in the world, but you'll never be satisfied. And you'll never find it in a preacher, and you won't find it in a church, and you won't find it in a ministry, and you won't find it in the work. And these are all good things in their place, but that's not what will feed you and satisfy that hunger in your soul. Only the voice of God speaking to you, and the way he does it is to chasten you and get your attention and speak to you on a level that he cannot speak to the unsaved. And you want to be listening to him. Are you listening to him? That's what's important.
Now you say, well, you know, preacher, I would listen to the Lord, but I'm a sinner. Those of you that come to this church any period of time, you'll know that I've told you time and time and time and time and time again that God deals with you on a level of sin that is before it ever happens. He deals with it before it ever hatches. He deals with it in its beginnings. When he searches the hearts and the reins, if man says he has not sinned, he's calling God a liar. If he says he has no sin, he fools himself. He deceives himself. What is that? That's God dealing with the spirit of a man before it ever breaks out and becomes a reality in his life. He wants to shut it down. He wants to cut it off. And he'll do that. And that's where you have your fellowship with God. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with the Son. The Greek word is koinonia. To hold in common, to believe in common. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So, I love Christian music. Believe me, I do. I love Christian music. I love good preaching. I love the fellowship of the saints. I love the church of God. I love all these things. And these are all good things in their place. But they will not take place of your fellowship with God. And the only way you can ever have that fellowship with God is to accept the fact, if you're born again, that you're a son of God by the new birth, and he speaks to you on a spiritual level that he cannot speak to the unsaved on, and you're listening, because he's the Father of spirits. Didn't call him the Father of souls. It doesn't call him the Father of your body. It calls him the Father of spirits. Why? You're born again spirit. If you are born of the Spirit of God in this house today, that spirit came forth from the Father. How else could he be the Father? And now he wants fellowship with you. That's all he wants. Is that all, preacher? Yeah, he'll take care of the rest. Once the Holy Ghost starts fellowship inside the believer, oh yeah, the issue of your sins and your weaknesses and your backsliding and your problems and whatever you're bound to and all the rest of it, that will be taken care of by the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Father, bless your word. I pray it will help someone. Lord, I tried to speak in a way, Father, that people could understand what I'm trying to say to them. Lord, we can't live one day without you. We can't live one hour without you. We can't live a second without you. We can't live a moment without you. We need you more than we could ever imagine we need you. Oh, God. Lord, speak to my spirit. You're the Father of spirits. Something hiding, something lurking, something dodging down deep inside my soul that I'm not aware of. It's you that does that. You're the one who brings it to light. Then bring it to light. Bring it to light. Because I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. I want it to count for you. And Father, I can't do it. It has to be you that does. You do it inside. You do it in me, in your holy name. Heads bowed this morning. Anybody raise your hand and say, Preacher Lawson, don't you pray for me, because I'm exactly where you're talking about. I want the Spirit of God speaking to me. God bless you. God bless you. We've got hands up all over the place. God bless you. Hands everywhere. God bless your soul. Father, in Jesus' name now, I pray as an intercessor, Lord. Not coming between them and you. I cannot do that. I dare not do that. But I pray for them as an intercessor. I pray the Holy Spirit will be able to move in what I've said this morning to make it very simple to them. That sweetness that they know that they've once had, that fellowship of the saints that goes on in their heart and in their soul, that fellowship, Lord, that's theirs. That's their heritage. That's the mark of who they are. Sonship. I pray that you would bless that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand up here this morning and sing.